ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 13. Yaha yo nam abhirvachi janam nijaya bandhanti tantaya vivadam abhirgaha yasme balintam ime nam karma nibaddha baddha chakita vahanti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Translation: just as the driver of bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bull to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all man through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names, activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishyas and Sudras. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering Him presentations according to their respective activities. Purport: in this material world, everyone is conditioned, regardless of who he is. One may be a human being, a demigod, or an animal, tree, or plant, but everything is controlled by the laws of nature. And behind this natural control is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, Shloka Kramank 20, wherein Krishna says, Maya Dakshina Prakriti, this material nature is working under my direction and producing all moving and non-moving beings. Thus, Krishna is behind the natural machine, which works under his control. Apart from other living entities, the living beings in the human form of body is systematically controlled by the Vedic injunction in terms of divisions of varnas and ashrams. Human being is expected to follow the rules and regulations of varnas and ashrams, otherwise he cannot escape punishment by Yamraj. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of a Brahmana, the most intelligent man. And then one must transcend that position to become a Vaishnava. This is the perfection of life. The Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras can elevate themselves by worshipping the Lord according to their activities. The divisions of Varnas and Ashrams are necessary to ensure the proper execution of duties and peaceful existence for everyone. But everyone is directed to worship the Supreme Lord, who is all-pervading. The Supreme Lord exists vertically and horizontally, and therefore, if one follows the Vedic injunctions by worshipping the Supreme Lord according to one's ability, his life will be perfect. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13, Ata pumbir dvijashreshta varnashrama vibhagashah svanishtitasya dharmasya samsidir haritoshanam. O best among twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. The Varnashram institution offers the perfect process for making one eligible to return home back to Godhead, because the aim of every Varna and Ashram is to please the Supreme Lord. One can please the Lord under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, and if one does so, his life is perfect. The Supreme Lord is worshipable, and everyone worships him directly or indirectly. Those who worship him directly get the results of liberation quickly, whereas the revelation of those who serve him indirectly is delayed. The word Namabhir Vasi is very important. In Varnashrama institution, there are different names: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. The Vak or Vedic injunction give direction for all these divisions. Everyone is expected to offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord and perform duties as indicated in the Vedas. So we are reading the chapter entitled Yamraj Instructs His Messengers. And this particular verse Yamraj is instructing, as he says, just as the driver of bullock cart ties ropes to the nostril of his bull to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which are set forth for the names and activities of the distinct orders of human societies. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities. As we have seen, the servants of Yamraj, they were thinking Yamraj is the Supreme, and Yamraj himself dispels that illusion, saying that I am not the Supreme, but Lord Vishnu is the Supreme. And in this particular verse, he is explaining how human being in this material world is supposed to behave. And in that purport, Sri Prabhupada is very nicely explaining the meaning of this verse. So in the first para itself, Sri Prabhupada is saying that everything in this material world is working under the direction of Lord Sri Krishna. And he quotes the verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that Maya Dakshina Prakruti Svete Sacharacharam. So in this, the main point that is given is that from Krishna, the whole evolution takes place. Everything comes from Krishna. When Sri Prabhupada was speaking on this verse in Calcutta, so he was explaining to the audience that there was one big scientist who was giving lecture in California University. And he was explaining the concept that the life comes from the chemicals. And he went on explaining his theory. And in the audience, one of my students, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, was there, that is His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And Prabhupada explains that he himself is also done PhD in chemistry. So he challenged that scientist who was claiming that the life comes from chemical by saying that if I give you all the chemicals, can you produce a life? And that renowned scientist who was glorified by the materialistic society by awarding him a Nobel Prize could not answer it properly. He said that my theory is that a life comes from chemicals, but if you give me chemicals, I'm not sure that I can produce the life. So that's how Srila Prabhupada is explaining that they are saying that life comes from chemicals, whereas we are claiming that life comes from the life. And that's how, if you see a very recent happenings, that even in Christianity that concept is there. They have their own theory of evolution. And recently there is a discussion in that Vatican circle whether we should stick to this theory of evolution or we should accept the intelligent class, that is the scientists, those who are giving their theory. And then they were saying that this theory has been accepted more or less by all the people, whatever the science say about these theories. And why should we stick to our orthodox explanation that is given in the scripture, that this is the way the evolution took place? So even though in past all the pope, they stood by this theory of evolution, but recently they're saying, why not have a discussion? So in this summer vacation, summer season, they would like to have a debate in which they are going to discuss whether officially we should support this theory or we should accept the theory given by the scientists. And they were saying, why not adjust us according to whatever the science says and whatever the mass people generally accept it. But Srila Prabhupada, in his lectures, he would always be firm. He would say that our authority is Lord Sri Krishna. Our authority is in scriptures. Where the scriptures, Lord Sri Krishna is very clearly mentioning that Maya Dakshina Prakruti. Then there is another shloka which comes in Bhagavad Gita which says that Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. So from me, everything spiritual and material comes into existence. At the same time, if you see in Vedanta Sutra, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned Jalmadasya Yataha. So Srimad Bhagavatam also repeats the same point, that the whole cosmic manifestation comes through Lord Sri Krishna. And even in Chaitanya Charitamrita also we find that verse, that Stavara Jangam Dekhe Na Dekhe Tara Murti Sarvatra Hoy Nija Ishta Deva Spurti. So the person who is the Mahabhagavat, who is the devotee of the Lord, whenever he sees this material creation, whenever he sees a palatial building, he always remembers Lord Sri Krishna. That all the ingredients, that is Bhumi, Rapo, Jalavayu, whatever is there in this palatial building, Krishna is the supplier of everything. And that's how, even if he is seeing this material creation, immediately he remembers that Krishna is behind this creation. So he can see the hand of Krishna everywhere. So Srila Prabhupada always was putting this point by the example of a car and driver, where he would say that this Prakriti can work only under the direction of a supreme being, a supreme person. And he gives always the example of a car. That car can remain at that place for thousands of years unless a driver comes and starts the engine. So similarly, for this material creation, we have to have a supreme creator, a supreme person who, just by its glance, activates this whole material creation. And in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada was saying that why it's difficult for us to understand that life comes from life. Why can't a supreme living entity produce the thing? By taking the simple examples in our day-to-day life, like he said that there is a lemon tree. So lemon tree is alive. And when we plant that lemon tree, the tree grows, eventually gives lots of fruits, and in that fruits you will find citric acid. So if a simple this tree can produce citric acid, then why can't a supreme living entity produce such a big creation? Then he gave another example, that we human being, when we perspire, now we produce a sort of a salty water. So if a human being through his perspiration can produce this water, so why it's not possible for a supreme being to produce huge quantities of ocean through his perspiration? So these examples, we can understand that why we have to base our understanding in the scriptures. Because if you don't have this understanding, which further stated, In the Srimad Bhagavatam Shloka, which Prabhupada quotes, that Samsidhir Haritoshanam, that everything has to be for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. If you miss this point, and then no matter how many schemes you introduce to be happy in this material world, it will eventually be futile. As we have seen, that so many people, they try to be happy in the society by material adjustments, by political adjustments, or by economic adjustments. But all of them, they don't get succeed. Just we have seen, like so many dictators in the past, like Hitler or Napoleon, they were trying to convince their citizens, their national people, that if a Germany or a France becomes a supreme power, all of us will be able to enjoy in this material world. But then what happens is, eventually, in course of a time, all these big dictators, they just remain as names in the history pages. They can remain in power for just few years, and after that, the Supreme Lord, in the form of a time, destroys this completely. So even though they were coming out with so many theories and somehow they're convincing the citizens to take part in such a great world wars, simply those who believed on their words of their leaders, they were never satisfied. If you see in the history in Russia also, so many revolutions took place. They were saying that the king is simply exploiting, so why not have a communist regime? So they tried to adjust the situation to become happy in this material world through various social reforms, social ways. But then ultimately, Srila Prabhupada was saying once, then what's the use? They have to make wheat from America. They have to make so many things from other countries. So you are coming up with so many theories of revolutions, but at the same time, you can't produce what you need, and you have to beg for someone else. Then what's the use of your progress that you have made? At the same time, there are so many economists, they will give so many theories of poverty eradication programs. And every year in the parliamentary elections, or even in USA in the presidential elections, the president or all the members who stand for elections, they keep giving so many promises to the citizens that I will do this and I will do that, and by that I will be able to eradicate the poverty, I will be able to solve the social problems. But still, for so many years they are trying, but if you see, all the social problems keep increasing because they miss the cardinal principle of satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada was once speaking to an American Senate member, and he was saying that now you are printing currency notes on which you print "In God We Trust," but you don't follow that. You see, in your universities and in colleges, you have banished the God. You are not following what you proclaim on your promissory note. He says, why this kind of hypocrisy? On one way you say, we in God we trust, and another way, we completely disown the God. And that Senate was not able to, though he was so favorable to listen from Srila Prabhupada, he saw Krishna conscious movement, and he had some favorable opinion about Krishna conscious movement. And he was trying to understand that how practically this will solve the national problems, the social problems. And he was challenging Srila Prabhupada that, is your movement practical? Is your movement will ultimately make people happy? So in reply to that, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, see, this Krishna conscious movement is practical. Now you have so many social schemes, and you want to support girls who have children, they have no husbands, they are abandoned by their spouse, and they are struggling to maintain themselves. So the state is providing them some monetary support. And still you find those girls are not satisfied. They indulge into so many sinful activities. And you see in my temple, I have so many girls staying here. And I don't pay them any single pay. And they are rendering service all throughout the day. And they are happy. So how can you say that Krishna conscious movement is not practical and it's not making people happy? Where the strain comes from the devotees to serve so much for the pleasure of Supreme Lord. You see, now the soon December marathon will come, and all over the world, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, his followers keep distributing the books. And if you see in the Russian countries or in some European countries, in the month of December, there is so much of cold, so much of snow, and the temperature is minus 10 or minus 20 at some places. And still, Prabhupada followers, they will carry the books, bags, and then they are out in this such an adverse condition, almost 8 to 12 hours a day. They walk through the snow and still keep distributing the books for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So, and at the same time, they resist themselves from so many sinful activities. So how can anyone say that this Krishna conscious movement is not a practical? You can see that the members of Krishna conscious movement are able to control so many habits, as government spends billions of dollars trying to de-addict people from alcohol, from the drugs, and they have got so many forums and through which they try to preach. But still, they are not able to achieve any success. Whereas we find simply keeping Krishna at the center and working for the satisfaction of the Krishna, one is able to get the satisfaction. And that's why, even though there is no payment, still people are working so hard, and at the same time, they're satisfied also. So that's how here that Srila Prabhupada is making this point, that one has to take care of the real self, because the mistake made by the materialistic people is that they simply interested in taking care of the externals. If you just take care of the body and neglect the soul that resides within the body, no matter how much schemes you make, how much efforts you make, still you remain unsatisfied. And we have seen that famous picture in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the old lady is taking care of a cage and the parrot inside is dying, because she was so busy taking care of the cage that simply neglected feeding the parrots. So similarly, all the social schemes or all other ways you try to be happy in this material world is simply at the external level, simply at the bodily level, and that's how we are not able to satisfy the people in this material world. So the Vedas, they divide the society according to the Vedic principles. Whatever ashram you are, or whatever social status you are, one has to come to this principle of understanding Lord Vishnu and worshipping Lord Vishnu. If this principle is not there, then one can never be successful. Srila Prabhupada was saying that we shouldn't be listening to the so-called brahmanas or so-called kshatriyas who do not come to this conclusion of worshipping this Supreme Lord Vishnu. We are not interested in the principles enunciated by these people. If they are following so-called Vedas and following so many rituals. But if they miss this principle of worshipping Lord Vishnu, all their efforts are useless. And that's why one has to follow a person who can take us to this conclusion. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that through the process of Varnashrama, gradually people will make spiritual progress. They will come to a status of Brahmana. The Brahmana means intelligent. He understands the scriptures. And still further one has to go. And that means one has to become a Vaishnava. And Vaishnava is the highest of all. And we have seen in the lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when he was performing his Leela in this earthly planet, he chose to have discussion about the spiritual topic with Ramananda Rai. Why? To establish that Vaishnava is the supreme. Now we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. He was born in Brahmin family. Whereas Ramananda Rai, he was grihastha, and at the same time he was born in lower families. And still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would discuss the highest confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna with him to enunciate this point that Vaishnava is the highest. And anyone who comes to this conclusion of understanding the Lord Vishnu and worshipping the Lord Vishnu, that has to be accepted. And not the so-called Brahmanas who may give so many rules and regulations, but ultimate conclusion is not worshipping the Supreme Lord. And that's how even the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Advaita Acharya, he also did the same principle that when he performed the Shraddha ceremony, he gave the highest honor of awarding Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur, who was not even in this Varnashram system. Though he was born in a Muslim family, but because he was constantly engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord and spreading the holy name of the Lord, he was the highest of all the Varnashrama system. And that's why, to give a clear-cut indication to the society that the Vaishnava is highest, he gave the Shraddha Patra to the Haridas Thakur. So we can say that the Supreme Lord has clearly, through his activities, has given us indication that ultimately one has to come to the position of Vaishnavas, and what Vaishnava does is always glorifies the Supreme Lord and serves the Supreme Lord. That should be the ultimate conclusion. Because when the Supreme Lord is satisfied, that is the perfection of one's life. As Srila Prabhupada always gives the examples that when you feed a food to the stomach, all the limbs in the body gets required nourishments. So similarly, if you satisfied Haritoshanam, if you work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, everything will be satisfied, you will be satisfied, and that's the highest perfection of life. And we see the simple story in Mahabharata when Duryodhana wanted to teach the Pandavas. So somehow the Duryodhana pleases Durvas Muni. So when Durvas Muni says, ask for the benediction, he asks for the benediction that you go to the forest and be a guest for the Pandavas, and when you go along with your 60,000 disciples. So Duryodhana was working in the material calculation that Pandavas are staying in the forest, how they can feed this 60,000 guests. And the guest who is like a Durvas Muni was a very difficult one to please. So he was thinking, if Durvas Muni is displeased, naturally he will give curse to the Pandavas and Pandavas will be doomed. So he was thinking of that calculation, making some material adjustments so that he can destroy the Pandavas. So Durvas Muni, according to the promise given to Duryodhana, comes to Pandavas, and the Yudhishthira Maharaj receives them very nicely and tells them that you please have prasad with us, and go to the river, take bath. By that time, everything will be ready. So that time, Draupadi becomes worried because she had a plate to supply unlimited quantity of foodstuffs till the point she honors the prasad. The moment she honors the prasad that day, then that plate would not supply any foodstuffs. So when they prayed to the Supreme Lord, Krishna appeared there, and Krishna said, just give something for my pleasure. But they said that we have nothing in this forest. But when they supplied a small grain that was there, stuck to the plate, simply by eating that small grain, Lord Krishna was satisfied, because Lord Krishna gets satisfied by the love of his devotees. And when he was satisfied, naturally he made all adjustments. The Durvas Muni and his disciples felt that their stomach is completely full, and they simply ran away from that place. When they saw Bhima is approaching them, asking them that why you are so late, please come and have a prasad. So instead of facing Bhima's, they simply escaped through another route. So here we see, this is the main principle, that the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And Supreme Lord can be satisfied, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, by any simple means, by patram, pushpam, anything can satisfy Krishna. And here we see even in the Bhagavad Gita, that initially Arjuna was reluctant to fight. He was thinking that how can I kill my own preceptors, my own grandfather, my own relatives, and I will not be happy if I kill all my kinsmen. But this war was a dharma yuddha. Krishna wanted all these people to be killed because they were standing on the side of adharma. So even fighting the violence on part of Arjuna was also satisfaction of Krishna. So the person may have many moral ideas of morality and immorality, but Vaishnava understands the cardinal principle of satisfaction of the Krishna. And in case of Arjuna, even though violence on the battlefield, but because it was satisfaction of Lord Krishna, it was a devotional service. And we see the similar principle why the gopis, they are so much glorified, because they completely disregarded the mundane principles of morality and immorality. They simply kept the satisfaction of Lord Krishna as on top priority. So when they heard the sound of flute, they knew that Krishna wants them to be present in his company. So completely disregarding all the social norms, they went there for the satisfaction of Lord Sri Krishna. And that's why the gopis are glorified as the highest example of perfection. And all of us should follow in these principles. So following in this principle means, as stated in this Srimad Bhagavatam, that samsidhir haritoshanam is work only for the satisfaction of Krishna. And this knowledge one can get only in the scriptures. If you find the mundane educational systems, well, Radha Gopinath Prabhu always keeps mentioning that today's education system means simply information, 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 and information, and there is no transformation. So the people, they take this mundane education, they do a lot of research, they get PhD degrees, but at the same time, there is absolutely no transformation of the heart. And if you see, as yesterday we were celebrating the Vyas Puja of His Holiness Prabhu Vishnu Swami Maharaj, and his disciple was mentioning that how he was traveling as a teenage boy, and when he came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, immediately his whole life changed. And we have so many instances in the Krishna Conscious Movement, simply reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or any small books, the whole lives of the people have changed. the so many habits the people had, all these bad habits, they were able to give it up and take a very clean and pious life of Krishna conscious and could change the whole of their lives. So that's why we can see, as is stated in this verse and by purport of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing this point that this whole creation is coming through Lord Krishna, and we should not keep the trust in the words of so-called theories of evolution given by the people, as our authority is Lord Sri Krishna. It's mentioning in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Mahabhagavat can see the presence of Sri Krishna all over. And the main principle that no matter what you do, whatever way you will try to understand or try to adjust yourself by being happy, but unless you understand this principle of making Haritoshanam, that means making Supreme Lord satisfaction is the main principle, you will never be happy in the world. And you may have so much of education, so much of information, but real transformation of the heart will not take place. So that's why, as stated here in this purport, as following Varnashrama, one gradually gets purified, but ultimately one has to come to the stage of surrendering to the Supreme Lord and His servants. Thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you ended with the fact that the main aim should be to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Now, the Supreme Lord does not need our service, if I'm just clarifying that. So the aim that we should satisfy Him is basically for our own benefit, because He is independent, so He doesn't, whether we do it or not, it doesn't affect Him. So is it that the fact that we should do it because it is going to benefit us, or I'm not clear?
Yes, we must, so by serving the Lord, we get benefited, and it's for our benefit. The Supreme Lord is like, He's like a loving father, and Supreme Lord is situated in our heart in the form of Paramatma, and is always giving us guidance. And that's why we see many times when a thief is stealing, his heart is throbbing, is beating. He understands what he's doing is wrong. So it's like Supreme Lord in the Paramatma is giving him an intelligence that don't do this. But still, he does that. And then he has to suffer for his whatever he does. So the Supreme Lord wants us always to come back to Him. He's patiently waiting. And this, the whole universe comes from Him. Like, now we take the Ganges water and offer it back. The whole Ganges water comes from Him. And why it's so powerful? Because it just touches His feet. So whatever we do, lovingly, the Supreme Lord takes pleasure. Like a father, a son will take just 10 rupees note from father's pocket. He goes to the shop, he gets some sweet candy and gives it to the father. But in that simple interaction, the father feels the pleasure. So similarly, when a devotee does any endeavor to do some service, the Supreme Lord takes pleasure in that. But by doing that, we get ourselves purified. All our senses are engaged in His service. And Krishna always wants us to come back to Him. So by acting like an obedient servant, lovingly serving Him, we are the ultimate beneficiary. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.